Patriots back in the playoffs, Keith?
Of course I'm ready. It's long overdue, Jones. I'm ready for some playoff football around these parts.
How about that?
Yeah. I'm ready. You ready?
I'm absolutely ready.
Sure, you got to be ready.
I should have. We left the glitter guns down the hallway. Shame
no,
on
I
me.
Know. I well, we're waiting for the right time to dust those puppies back off.
I should have had those ready to go.
Did you refill those guns with all the glitter that we shot when Drake May was named the starter?
I'm pretty sure Mingles is still picking up glitter out of weird places.
Yeah,
all
I felt
over
bad
the
about
studio.
That. I was yeah, like, no, it's, I'll do the best still, I can on clean up.
There's still glitter in all kinds of
everywhere.
Strange corners.
Gets everywhere. It's like sand after a day at the beach. Weeks later, you're like, what is this now?
Like, wait a minute.
What the hell is
here?
This?
I definitely scrubbed in there.
Very How's exciting times.
Okay, Bedard's like, not totally ruling out the playoffs. How much better are the Patriots after the draft, Keith?
I think they're better. I think they're, you know, Will Campbell is still such a massive question mark, and we'll see. But if he's a good left tackle this year, I think they are a lot better than they were a year ago. Now, I'm also factoring in free agency, and we've talked about all these guys that they signed in free agency already a little bit, but when you just add it all together, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, a bunch of new players at a bunch of different positions, year two of Drake May. Yeah, like I think playoffs is, you know, realistic, but not the expectation, where like they won four games the last 2 years. They won eight total games the last 2 years. So if they win eight games this year, that's a massive improvement. That's a big swing. I think it's more likely that, like, if I had to pick one number, more likely like eight, they have a weak schedule, than it would be 10-7 and, you know, who are they playing in the first round of the playoffs? Like, I'm not going to go that far, but I do like a lot of the moves that they've made.
So, me too. And I think what you just said is exactly how I feel. It's possible you're a lot better and still not a playoff team.
Like, yeah, because you needed to get a lot better.
Both those things can be true. You could have gotten much better. You could have improved a ton. People like the Patriots draft. I like the Patriots draft. You like the Patriots draft.
Yes, we do.
Not as much as everybody else, but B, no, B+.
We were called haters. We have them on the honor roll.
That's a good.
Not on the high honor roll, but the honor roll.
That's a good, solid improvement for the team. I liked free agency. I still feel like there are needs on the team, and we can get into what the biggest one is here coming up. But it's possible they got a lot better. They improved a lot. They have an adult in the room running the team in Mike Vrabel.
Yeah.
Your roster got better in free agency. I got better in the draft. That doesn't guarantee you're a playoff team, but I don't think it's crazy to sit here and dream and wonder whether or not this team can be competing for a playoff spot late in the year. I think that's a lot of our goal. I don't want to speak for everybody out there, but I think that's a lot of our goals for the team this year, realistic goal for the team this year. Be in the mix. Be in the hunt. Be there in December in weeks 16, 17, 18, knocking on the door of a playoff spot. I think that's a reasonable expectation. I'd be disappointed if they didn't do that. I'd be stoked if they were in the playoffs.
Of course.
But they were so far away and they needed so much stuff.
Yeah.
Even if you got a lot of these guys, you know, free agency, we love the players they got. Hardly any of them have been to a Pro Bowl. I mean, Diggs has been to a bunch, but Wednesday's going to be out there.
Yep.
Landry went to one. Everybody else, not even a Pro Bowl caliber player. You know, we all like the draft. Your first pick may not be a tackle.
Right.
The other guys are day two and day three picks. So I like what they did, and they definitely got better. Are they a playoff team yet? I'm okay with wondering that, asking that question. I think it's far from a guarantee, but there is no doubt they're a much improved and better team. I think that's obvious.
I think there's a lot of comparisons that we've made between the Patriots and the Red Sox and just sort of where they were, what they've become, and then how they're trying to dig themselves out of it. And one of the reasons why I'm a lot more confident in the Red Sox making the playoffs is the landscape of the American League versus the landscape of the AFC. So there aren't as many good teams in the American League. So the Red Sox don't even have to have a crazy year and they can still make the playoffs. Whereas if you look at the AFC, and maybe last year I thought it was going to be a little bit better than it was, but it's still pretty crowded and you have all the best quarterbacks, essentially, with, you know, exception of like Jalen Hurts and a couple guys, are all in the AFC. I would think a team like Cincinnati is going to bounce back. That was a non-playoff team from a year ago.
Right.
Plus, you have all the teams that did make the playoffs, and they're just bringing guys back. So, you know, all your like the top MVP candidates like Lamar and Mahomes, like these guys are all in the same Josh Allen. Like these guys are all in the conference, level in the division. So you could be good, but it feels like 10 wins is probably the minimum to make the playoffs in the AFC.
Well, here's another way to look at it. You know, every year, a team or two, like last year it was Washington, and even some of the other, you know, poor teams a year ago. Like the Chargers drafted very highly and turned around and were a playoff team. But like Washington
Broncos,
was the one that highlighted it.
It wasn't a huge swing, but the Broncos were better.
Yep. Yeah. The year prior it was Houston. You know, you can pretty much go through any year and there's a worst to first team and a team drafting highly that turns it around. I mean, that happens routinely in the NFL. So you look at all the last place teams. I mean, the Patriots or the Browns. Who has a better chance at being a playoff team?
That'd be the Patriots.
So I'd agree.
Unless Dylan Gabriel puts that team on his back.
It could be Dylan Gabriel.
Shadur Sanders is the AFC Rookie of the Year.
Patriots or Tennessee?
Patriots.
So I would agree.
And they play both those teams, right? Head-to-head, I think.
I'm sure. Playing their last place schedule.
All these scrub teams.
Patriots or Vegas? Tougher one.
It is a tougher one. I like the Patriots as a turnaround more so.
I would lean Pats. Perhaps that's because we're in New England and we're closer to it.
I'm a guy that I doubt Geno Smith, and he's really turned it around. He's been really good the last few years, but I still have my doubts.
I would go Patriots over Raiders. Patriots or Giants in the NFC?
Yeah, I mean, not close.
Not even close.
Although they did get Cam Scataboo.
I like Scataboo.
Giants got Scataboo.
Patriots or Saints?
Pats.
I would agree. So then you get into the two tough ones and the ones where I would give them the edge. The Bears and the Niners. I mean, the Niners to me would be the most obvious worst to first turnaround, easy to bet on team.
Yeah.
They were 6-11 last year. They have a ton of talent. They were in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. I would wager on a bounce back there. Chicago's another tough one. I would give them the edge over New England, but like the Patriots are right there in the mix with those teams that you'd expect to turn it around. And so they're definitely better. The question is how much better? And are they a playoff team? It's fair to wonder that, I think. 617-779-7937. That was Greg Bedard. As our jump-off point here today, you can jump in all day long. On Jones and Keefe, we have thoughts tonight on Game 5.
Ooh.
Celtics and Magic. Time to get that team out of the Celtics' faces. Since 8:30
start?
Yeah, it's a later start. I don't like that.
I mean, I'm not like the old guy that's like screaming about it, but like, I just don't really get it.
Yeah.
Like, NBA Finals, I get.
Isn't the first game tonight? We were talking about this off the air yesterday. The first game's at 6?
Yeah.
Why?
I mean, the NHL's doing games at 11 p.m. and basketball's doing games at 6. I don't know what's going on.
At least those are West Coast games, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess. But like, by the time I put the kids to bed, that first game's going to be like over.
And if you're going to have a 6 o'clock game, why wouldn't you put the Knicks there? So then the Knicks game could be over.
Local start time of 5 p.m.?
Yeah, I don't get any of it.
Yeah, but that is, right? Indiana?
Yeah.
5 o'clock start time.
Roundabout point. Nice. We'll get to the Celtics later on in the program. It's a tier Tuesday. We're going to tier off, and this should not be a shock to anybody.
No.
The wildest relationships.
Yeah, there are some good ones out there.
Are they just in sports, Keith, or are we going to dabble outside of
TBD.
Sports?
TBD. I think we have enough that I have at least one person representing sports and the other representing just either random person or celebrity themselves.
Okay, so that's Tier Tuesday at 11:30.
You know me, I'm up on my wags.
The wildest relationships. High noon. You got a Tommy Tuesday with Tommy Curran and, of course, Kiefer Madness at 12:45, and it's 2 for Tuesday on WEEI. Coming up about 15 minutes from now, and all day long on WEEI, you'll have an opportunity to win a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Rangers at Fenway Park. So stay tuned for that. Our first of four pairs of tickets we're giving away comes your way at 10:30. So we agree, Patriots are better off. I think that's not even a debate. I think it's obvious. Where's their biggest remaining weakness, Keith? We like what they did in free agency. They needed a tackle and a receiver late in free agency. They added Steph Diggs. You go into the draft, you get a tackle, you hope, early in Will Campbell. You get a receiver that can contribute early, you hope, in Kyle Williams. What's their biggest remaining weakness?
I think it's still wide receiver. And I'm pretty high on Steph Diggs, but I understand it comes with a lot of uncertainty. You know, you just don't know when he's going to be ready. And then even if he comes back early-ish in the season, does he hit the ground running? Like, how, you know, when do you get top-end Steph Diggs, and do you ever get top-end Steph Diggs? And then everybody else, like, I like Kyle Williams. That's a lot to ask. I mean, how many rookie receivers for the New England Patriots have ever made a positive impact? You got to go back a ways.
I mean,
like Malcolm Mitchell,
Branch?
Deion Branch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's
Terry Glenn, if you want to go pre-Bill Belichick.
Because I think, didn't, like, Aaron Dobson have, like, some team rookie records just out of necessity?
You know who I think broke it was Pop.
Oh, Pop on the Tape Douglas.
I think Pop on the Tape.
All right, so my point is proven out.
Yes. Even the ones who have, quote-unquote, very productive rookie years, it's shockingly little production.
So I like Will Campbell more than you do. That's why I'll say, all right, the offensive line, all right, I'll give you that. You made some additions. You got a new center. You got a new right tackle. You got a new left tackle. You have a couple of guys in-house that you think can play guard. Obviously, there's going to be injuries, but for the time being, I'll take that. If Steph Diggs, and it's not even an if, it's probably likely that if he's not starting week one, what's your receiving core look like? And it looks to me like it's probably Pop Douglas, Kayshawn Booty, Kyle Williams, maybe is your top three, like in the pecking order. So that has to be the biggest question. At least for me, that's the biggest question right now.
I read you the note yesterday from Mike Reese about how he saw the receiver room breaking down. He went Diggs, Hollins, Williams, all safe. He said Pop Douglas probably should be safe, and then everybody else is duking it out for a spot.
I'd be surprised if they cut Pop Douglas, but it's a new time, right? It's Vrabel and really and it's Josh McDaniels and what guys he wants. So Diggs, Hollins, and Williams, I agree. The two free agent signings and your third-round pick, they're all safe. None of these other guys were brought in by the Patriots. Now, Kendrick Bourne was here when McDaniels was here last and was pretty good. So I think barring health, I would think Kendrick Bourne's on the team. And then you get into the two rookies from last year and the two rookies from the year before that. And how much room is there room for one of those guys? Like, if Diggs is healthy, there's probably only room for one. Now, if he's not, that kind of leaves the door open for one of those guys to stick around a little bit longer. But I think the guys from 2 years ago, Pop Douglas, Kayshon Booty, are head and shoulders ahead of Polk and Baker.
So I agree. And by the way, the biggest remaining question mark for me is tackle, and I want to get into that in a moment. But fair point here on the text line, 617-779-7937. We talked about this yesterday. I said, I like the Travion Henderson pick. I'm not as high on him as you are, but I get it. And I like the Kyle Williams pick. I do wish they got Luther Burden in the second round and then a running back in the third round. You know, Bedard on his podcast said they were heavily targeting R.J. Harvey, who you liked as well.
I did like R.J. Harvey.
At a UCF,
Central
is that right?
Florida running back, yeah.
He said in the third round, too bad he went in the second round.
He went like 60th, right?
So, yeah. You know, if that's the guy they were hoping for in the third round, but like play it out, game it out. Maybe it's Scataboo or somebody like that in the third
round.
I wish they did that. I wish they went receiver and then back, but that's nitpicking.
I do like Henderson, so I'm not going to nitpick.
However, if you're not happy with the receiver room and that's the biggest weakness, do you wish they went with a wide receiver in the second, Keith?
No, because honestly, I would have had the same questions about it. Like, I think even although I like Jalen Noel, for example.
You would have a question with a rookie regardless.
Same thing.
Yeah.
And so, and because this draft didn't have the Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Brian Thomas, in my mind. Didn't have it. You and I didn't like Tet McMillan. Maybe some people would argue Tet McMillan was that guy. I didn't think they had it. That's why I talked myself into Ty Warren, the tight end, or Ashton Gentry, the running back, just like a playmaker in a different position. So to me, it would have been the same thing and maybe even worse. Like, so if you took one of the Iowa State wideouts, and then you came back in the third round and drafted a receiver. I'm looking at the depth chart the same way. Like, Kyle Williams could be just as productive as Jalen Noel. Don't you? I think so.
Yeah.
And any of those guys. So I don't mind.
Right. I preferred Noel, it. But yeah. Right. Williams could outproduce him for sure. Especially,
Henderson, especially based
on opportunity.
And Henderson could be a massive hit, too. The way McDaniels plays in his offense. And I don't think you have to rely on him to play all three downs. But we saw, certainly by the end of James White's career, how impactful he could be, like the big plays that he was responsible for. And if you give that to Henderson, he's got a little bit more speed.
So real quick, listen to this on the wide receiver depth chart, because I have Reese and Chad
Kraft okay.
Over at The Athletic. Listen to how similar their wording is on the wide receiver group.
Okay.
Reese wrote yesterday, after signing veterans Steph Diggs and Mac Hollins in free agency and drafting Washington State's Kyle Williams in the third round, the Patriots have revamped their wide receiver room. Okay, we read this yesterday, but
yeah,
I'll
reiterate. It's revamped.
Third-year slot, DeMario Douglas is probably safe.
Man, that is surprising.
Which means veteran Kendrick Bourne, third-year player Kayshon Booty, and 2024 draft picks Jalen Polk and Javon Baker are among those vying for a role in a suddenly crowded positional group. Okay, so that's Reese yesterday.
Yep.
Here's Chad
Graff. Yep.
This is probably the most intense training camp competition. Most teams keep five or six wide receivers on the roster. The Pats will have a tough time getting down to just six. There's a lot of crap at the back end, but
yeah,
whatever.
I think they'll be fine. I think they could do six. Yeah, go ahead.
Listen to his order. Diggs, Hollins, Williams. Same as Reese.
That's fine.
DeMario Douglas should safely make the team.
What is going on with this guy?
But everything else is up in the air. The guess is now the biggest battle is between Polk and Bourne, and the early prediction is that the Patriots bank on getting more out of Polk than Bourne, who will turn 30 in training camp. So that's how two different people, very plugged in, some exceptionally plugged in.
The most plugged in.
They give you basically the same snapshot of wide receivers. So I would disagree, Keith. I think they're better at wide receiver. I'm still not sure they're better at tackle. Like, is Will Campbell a tackle?
No, they're better.
They're
better. You can argue how much better, but like, look at the guys they try. Like Deontay Jacobs and Vidarian Lowe.
They should be better.
They're better.
Is the guy a tackle?
He's going to have to be.
Okay, I know he's going to have to be, but could he struggle just as much as those guys did? I think that's in play.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, at that point, he's just an absolute bust.
I don't see these receivers struggling more than last year's group. I really don't. And if Campbell's a tackle, then throw it in my face. But
I don't think Mac Hollins is like that great, though. Like, everyone's like, pencil in Mac Hollins. Pencil him in for what?
I mean, he had a very good year with Josh McDaniels. For Mac Hollins, okay. Josh McDaniels.
Right. And that's the same thing with Kendrick Bourne. That's what people point to. Like, he had a good year, like, for Kendrick Bourne.
Right.
Like, the only stud they have is Steph Diggs, and he's coming off an ACL in his 30s. Kyle Williams, I have a lot of hope for. I think he could be really good, but I just have a lot of questions. Like, I think Steph Diggs, if everything's equal, should be your leading receiver. You know, catches and yards, touchdowns, who knows? But I would say he should be the leading receiver. But we don't know. Like, he's just coming off an injury.
No, that's the one way where they would not have a better receiver group is if he's not playing at all or he's not himself.
Right, then it's kind of the same.
At all. So I think these questions go hand in hand. What's the Patriots' biggest remaining weakness? Keith says wide receiver. I say left tackle. I've never been sold that Campbell is a tackle. I remain, despite the Patriots drafting him, unsold that he's a tackle. If he is, then great. My biggest question is answered. But that goes hand in hand with whether or not the Patriots are a playoff team and how much better they are. Like, listen to the two answers we just gave. All offseason, we're like, the two biggest needs are left tackle and wide receiver. They remain the two biggest weaknesses on the team, in our opinions. So you can jump in on that. 617-779-7937. We will have a Tier Tuesday coming up at 11:30. The wildest relationships out there. Don't worry. Woo! Bill and Jordan will absolutely be somewhere on that list.
Yeah,
I'd imagine
they're
pretty high up there.
I would agree.
It's a Tommy Tuesday with Tom E. Curran at high noon. We got a Kiefer Madness at 12:45. And, of course, a two for Tuesday. If you want a pair of tickets to the Red Sox and the Rangers on May 6th at Fenway Park, just stay tuned.
The other change for Belichick is 24-year-old Jordan Hudson, his creative muse, as he writes in his book.
Make sure that that's the...
Jordan was a constant presence during our interview.
You have Jordan right over there. Everybody in the world seems to be following this relationship. They've got an opinion about your private life. It's got nothing to do with them, but they're invested in it. How do you deal with that?
Never been too worried about what everybody else thinks. Just try to do what I feel like is best for me and what's right.
How did you guys meet?
Not talking about this.
No?
No.
It's a topic neither one of them is comfortable commenting on, though Hudson has recently posted about it on Instagram.
You join InstaFace, as you put it. I love that. There's some great pictures of you and Jordan where you're a fisherman and she's a mermaid. It's charming. It's a different side of you. What's the reaction been like?
What's it been like?
To have these different sort of photos. There's another one where you're doing, I know you're not into meditation or yoga or Pilates. You're balancing Jordan on your feet and she's doing kind of the Titanic pose.
Yeah, so I'm on some of those social media platforms. But I honestly don't follow him.
What a story. Jeez. And by the way, Keith, it just keeps getting better.
It's insane. It's an insane thing.
TMZ with some real nice details that we'll get to here coming up. It's also a Tier Tuesday on Jones and Keith in a related story with Bill and Jordan.
Yeah.
We'll be giving you the wildest relationships where they will be featured, prominently.
Yeah, they're going to be in there.
On this list. Tiers come your way at 11:30, but it's also a two for Tuesday.
What is it?
It's a two for Tuesday.
Two for Tuesday.
Let's roll.
Be caller 9 right now to the contest line, 617-931-0937. And if you have today's code word, give it to Billy, and you'll score a pair of tickets to see the Red Sox take on the Rangers on May 6th. At Fenway Park. Again, caller 9 right now, contest line, 617-931-0937. Give the code word, and you'll score a pair of tickets. See the Red Sox take on the Rangers May 6th at Fenway Park. We were talking about the Patriots, how much better they are this season. Are they a playoff team? What's their biggest weakness? Keith says wide receiver. I say left tackle. You can continue to jump in on that. But TMZ added to the CBS Sunday News report that aired on Sunday morning. We spent a lot of time on it yesterday.
Sure did.
As did all the shows here on WEEI. Yeah. Let's pick up with the details. Jordan Hudson went completely off the rails during Bill Belichick's CBS interview, Keith, to the point where she stormed out of the room and delayed shooting for 30 minutes.
Wow.
Sources tell TMZ Sports. Bill agreed to the sit-down.
It's like a diva on a movie set.
Yeah,
it's like a high-paid movie star.
100%.
Like, I don't like these conditions.
I'm not doing this.
I'm out of here.
Storms off for 30 minutes.
30 minutes did it calm her down.
Belichick agreed to sit down with CBS Mornings, but it turned into an L, at least PR-wise.
He sure did.
When his 24-year-old girlfriend interrupted the interview, asking Bill how they met, which you just heard. We're told outside of that baffling moment, this is where it gets good.
Yeah.
And that made the final edit. There were numerous other instances of Hudson butting in, even when the legendary coach was answering questions about football.
Not talking about this.
She would stop and correct them.
About football?
Football.
He can't answer football questions?
No.
He is in a lot of trouble. I am concerned. I think most people are now concerned after listening to all that. Because it's one thing, and I don't even agree with it, because it's, you know, it's a CBS interview. They're trying to promote your book. And she's there, and they ask about the relationship, and she's like, we're not talking about it. Even though we were already fed a story about how they met, just stick with that story, and we all move on. It's not this huge deal. But to interject all the time, wild, to the point where I think CBS initially probably wasn't going to include her, but then they're like, all right, you've become now the story. We have to do this.
This lady is wasting Non-stop. Our day, yeah. Wasting our time.
So we'll toss you into this.
Butting into football questions.
That's insane. Like, what does Bill think when she does that? Like, oh, good call. I'm glad you stopped that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
She's not his lawyer. She's not on trial.
Is she butting in about the 2001 Super yeah. Bowl? It's like, Tuts, you weren't alive.
Why did Malcolm Butler not play?
Objection!
It's like, Bill's batted away enough questions on his own.
Yeah, yeah, I think
it's best for the football team.
Going with Brady.
Right.
Over Bledsoe, what was that like? Oh, well, we're not talking about this. You were not on the planet yet.
For 24 years, Bill Belichick, whether it be at a press conference or interviews here on WEEI, would not answer plenty of questions,
yeah,
he didn't need anybody to step in for him.
The man needed zero help.
Nope, he was actually maybe the best at it.
Now, all of a sudden, he seems like he needs quite a bit of it.
In the Hall of Fame of not answering questions was Bill Belichick, and now he needs a 24-year-old girlfriend to be like, we're not talking about this.
Not only does he need help, Keith, as you said yesterday, it was a cry for help. There's more from TMZ.
He's in a lot of trouble.
Our sources say Bill only arrived at the interview with Hudson. No one from his publishing company, again, he's promoting a book, the University of North Carolina, or any other rep with him, which is a bit of a head-scratcher to CBS producers on set. That didn't strike me as odd, but I guess it was odd to them. At one point in the Q&A, Hudson got so heated, she stood up and walked out and wanted Bill to follow.
Oh, of course.
It's Bill, we're getting out of here. Uh-huh. Cut this way, Bill. We're not doing this anymore, Bill.
A little bit of cat and mouse.
It's unclear if Coach, that's how they refer to him,
Coach.
It's unclear if Coach agreed. But the blow-up delayed the whole interview for about a half an hour.
Oh, my God. These guys were probably just so dumb with it.
A half an hour production. Everybody else, they're held up. They're waiting for this girl to throw her temper tantrum.
Yeah. A little hissy fit because she didn't like the football questions.
Bill, come with me. I don't like your friends, Bill. We're leaving, Bill. I don't like your friends. Get out of here, Bill.
So I said it yesterday. I stand by it. We need to see the entire thing, and maybe that'll happen.
Oh, I mean, with the way this is going, Keith.
We need to hear more of it.
Ordway had a good tweet. Glenn had a good tweet.
Oh, yeah?
He's like, CBS is clearly leaking stuff. That's where this is coming from. So
at some point, just release the whole thing.
I wouldn't rule out we're getting video of this.
You'd get a lot of people watching that.
We're told once things calmed down, the interviewer, Tony DeCoppel, was spooked by the whole encounter and elected to wrap things up quickly and end the awkward experience. He's like, let's just pull the ripcord on this thing.
Oh, my God.
As for how the dumpster fire of an encounter got edited, we're told higher-ups at CBS News and Sports had to get involved to figure out how to salvage it. And while a second interview was scheduled to go down at a later time, it was ultimately scrapped.
Wow.
They're like, we're not dealing with these a-holes anymore.
Do we know who set up the interview? Because obviously he is trying to sell a book. That's sort of like the overarching thing.
I'd imagine, you know, if he has a literary agent or the publisher.
Or her.
Well, maybe her.
Did she set this up?
Good point. That's my thought. Maybe.
Was she thinking, like, this is a great idea? Like, we already know he's on Twitter and Instagram because of this. Mm-hmm. He was going to maybe be on like NFL Hard Knocks, but with a college team. And then she apparently was too much to work with. Plus, I think NFL owners were like, we don't want Bill on this. But he's looking worse and worse by the day. Like, it's wild. I don't know how you pull yourself out of this.
Text line says, we have no evidence she jumped into football questions. Well, that didn't make the final cut.
No, we didn't see
it. Are you doubting that this whack job didn't jump in there on football questions?
I mean, please. She objected to a story which they have already told. That's the strangest part.
Well, again, it's...
Well, I mean, a story. Yeah, but...
A story they told.
But you stick with a story, you just kind of move on.
It's not the story about how they met. It's a story.
Yeah, no, it's
about how they met.
So I heard this morning on Greg's show, they were talking about how many years Bill coaches at North Carolina. And
Do you want more from the story? Let me just give you the last two lines.
Yeah. Then we can answer that.
Okay. The whole ordeal isn't sitting well with Bill's employers. You know who had this last week or maybe a couple weeks ago? Curran. On Afternoons, they asked him about how it's going at North Carolina. And they're like, people aren't loving it. So we're going to ask Curran about this at noon. I know he gets a little uncomfortable with the Bill stuff. But we're going to ask Curran about this at noon. The whole ordeal isn't sitting well with Bill's employers. We're told folks at UNC are now concerned about Jordan's influence on Belichick's tenure as the head coach in Chapel Hill.
It's wild.
Especially with her essentially taking on his role as manager. As a source put it, there's a growing sense this could become a problem.
No.
Growing sense?
You think this could be a problem?
Guys, wake up.
You think she might be an issue?
Wow.
They are on their P's and Q's
at
North Carolina.
She was on the field at spring practice. Like, what on earth? So they were talking about this morning how long he's going to be there. And I think it was Courtney was like, 5 years?
No, chance.
0.0.
I mean, does he coach this season? Let's start there.
Yes.
Does he coach next season?
Not sure.
I say no.
Yeah. You say no.
I say he coaches 1 year there.
I say.
And that honestly, I don't know how long he wanted to be there anyway. I think he wants to just give the job to Steve, but they're going to be like, we're not just giving the job to Steve.
Well, he wants to go to the NFL, but good luck with that.
I don't think that's
good luck with that, Bill.
I don't think that's happening.
So,
I think he coaches there for 1 year.
Okay. If I were going to bet, I would say 2, but I would start to want. He's going to make it this year, but it could go so poor. If they suck on the field and she's a nightmare and he's a pain in the ass, 1 year, they could walk their separate ways after 1 year. Bill could say, it was an experiment, didn't work. I need to retire.
Because didn't
like,
they
whatever.
Change like, the buyout agreement too? There's some detail in there. So like he could be a one and done coach there.
Yeah.
He could be.
I would probably bet on 2. But, yeah, one year, maybe, who knows? Maybe he doesn't get through 1 year there, Keith.
I was rooting for him. Like, I wanted him to do well at North Carolina. But this whole Jordan thing, I think it would be funnier to watch it go poorly and then her just go crazy. And, like, who knows what's going to happen next? Like, some of the posts. And then, you know, she's going to start throwing people under the bus.
It's a great
she's going to be like, well, if Mike Lombardi knew it, he was like, she's just going to bury everybody around Belichick. Like, it's not his fault. She's just start blaming the players.
Oh, that's a good call.
It's going to be pretty good.
So if they're bad, and they're probably not going to be great.
I think they should be fine. They were fine last year. It's not like, didn't they have Mac Brown? They won like 8 games. It's not a fixer-upper like the Patriots are. Don't you think the Tar Heels are closer to winning the conference than the Patriots are?
I mean, yeah, probably the conference.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Okay, but I don't think they're going to.
No, neither do I, but like they also have a soft schedule, and it's not like they had...
Keith, he hasn't been a good coach for a long time now.
Plus, no, I know.
Plus, she's involved. Plus, North Carolina's not very good most years.
Oh, so they were 6 wins last year. My bad. They were 6 wins last year. I think maybe the year before they had 8. So I misspoke. They had 6 wins last year.
Bill hasn't been
they
a good...
Mac Brown, though.
Bill hasn't been a good coach for a half decade, and he's never done this before.
No. But he's also not taking over... Like, I know people can't stand the guy, but Deion Sanders took over a much worse program in Colorado than Bill is taking over at North Carolina.
Yeah, Bill Deion might be a better coach these days.
Maybe.
I know people don't want to hear that.
I think he's only going to be there for 1 year.
Right now, in college football, Deion's a better coach than Bill.
Yeah.
If people don't want to hear that, that's fine. But that's the situation. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. How long does Bill have at UNC? Your thoughts on the latest details with Jordan storming off the set. Come with me, Bill. We're at it. I don't like your friends, Bill. We're leaving, Bill.
Can you imagine like the camera people and like the guy doing the interview like looking at each other like, what did we sign up for?
We thought
this was going to be an interview with the greatest head coach of all time talking about
Tony DeCoppel, the interviewer, was spooked by the whole encounter and wrapped things up quickly. He did them a favor.
He pulled the plug on it.
He did them a solid.
That's insane.
So I bet we are going to see the director's cut at some point.
Does he do another interview at any point?
I mean, yeah, probably.
I mean, I'm not talking about like McAfee.
No, but like, will he do another interview? Yeah, she'll probably line something else up and storm off and be a diva. But yeah, probably.
Do you think when he's like zooming in with McAfee, like she's actually like,
right
must
there.
Be right next to him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Objection,
Pat.
We're not talking about this, Pat.
Yeah. Wow. it is such a bizarre tale.
Well, something tells me we haven't heard the last of it.
I would agree.
We might show up tomorrow with more details. They might come out before the end of the show. 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. We have a Tier Tuesday coming your way at 11:30. The wildest relationships, mostly in sports. Coming up at high noon, we'll ask Curran more about Bill Belichick and the UNC experience. We have Kiefer Madness at 12:45 and another opportunity to win Red Sox and Rangers tickets at 11:30. But speaking of the Patriots and their improvements, have they closed the gap at all on Buffalo? Because up in Buffalo, they're getting awfully sensitive. We'll tell you what we mean coming up next. Bill Belichick and Jordan It won't quit, Keith. I just went to the last break. We were going to get to Brandon Bean and some comments. We'll do that coming up.
I think Nick missed his calling as being a radio DJ.
Oh, tremendous.
Billy started singing it.
Oh, well played, Bill. Well played.
Tremendous song choice.
Yes.
So we'll get to Brandon Bean, the Bills GM, and his comments coming up. But I went to break saying we're going to get more updates before, certainly by tomorrow. I'm like, maybe before the end of the show.
I mean, as you said that.
How about by the next segment, yeah. Keith? What did Jordan just put on Instagram?
So Jordan Hudson on Instagram just posted an email written by Bill Belichick back on April 10th.
Stop. So she is now on Instagram posting Bill's emails.
Which she's on. So it says
we knew she was CC'd on his emails. That we know. That's been reported.
So Bill,
she's now posting his emails. Yeah, go ahead.
So Bill Belichick, and I'm sure this guy's gonna be thrilled. So it says, you know, so it's a Gmail. So there's like a it says like who it's to.
Yeah.
So it's to David. I don't know me. So obviously she's on the email.
Yep.
A Joffy, a Michael, a Richard at InkwellManagement.com.
You think Michael's
Bearsh,
and Bearsh is on it.
Mm-hmm.
Bearsh is at BC. And who's Michael Lombardi? Is that possible?
Oh, probably. Yeah, it doesn't say because it's like Gmail's at the top. Anyway, so this is a Bill Belichick written email, but it was posted by Jordan. Belichick writes, all, I don't think this is fantastic, but it probably will hype the book, which is clearly the ongoing theme here. This is about what I expected from the media. So clearly there was some like excerpts and stuff from the book that came out going back a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So he's sort of in retaliation to that.
Okay.
He says, this is what I expect from the media. We went through how important it was for me to put the, quote, I effed up in the book. And of course, that is the feature of this article, which is mostly about admitting mistakes and talking about a Super Bowl mistake. I am fine with putting mistakes in the book, but I'm certainly not surprised that of 260 plus pages that is what they would highlight. And of course, the I bleeped up is the clickbait they used for the story. We'll see what the title of the article is, which I noticed has been conveniently left out. Do we have approval on that? I would approve this article if we can also approve the headline, which is actually more important than the article. The next paragraph. We can expect that the, quote, interviews and, quote, podcasts that will supposedly drive the sales will also come from similar samples. These appearances will, no doubt, want to focus on whatever negatives they can extract from the book and all the current events that don't have anything to do with the book but are most relevant to their, quote, ratings and their agenda, which is not mine. That was evident when Aylrod? I have no idea. Drop the story.
Yeah, so hang on. So Aylrod, what could that be? I was thinking like Axelrod?
I don't know what that is.
But keep going. I
guess they dropped the story because we would not do current events at UNC. We'll see how many people want to talk about the $5,000 bill for, quote, spoiled milk and other entertaining and business aspects of the book. I have no doubt the I bleeped up will not be the main focus of Ray Dalio and Susie Welch in my conversations with them.
So I connected some of this. So Susie Welch did a sit down with Bill that aired on April 13th.
Okay.
And it aired on CNBC. She writes for the New York Times. So Bill must not have been happy with something that aired in that. The headline for that, by the way, is Bill Belichick on leadership, winning, and Tom Brady not being a great natural athlete.
No, I think he's saying that the I bleeped up won't be the main focus with them, which I think he likes.
I see. Oh, I'm
I think
sorry.
He's saying that's
got it,
good.
Got it.
Like they're actually journalists.
Good. Oh, sorry. Got it.
So then then another paragraph. I will say again that I want this book to be presented as a look at my professional life and how I did my job on the way up to and as the leader of the organization that grew from a $500 million franchise to an $8 billion organization.
Yeah, that was you.
That played in
that
10
was Bill. That wasn't
and won
Brady.
Six
that was
Super Bowls
Bill.
Over 25
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
This book is about how I did my job and lessons from my 50 years in and around the NFL, not a bathroom book that highlights my mistakes. I acknowledge the mistakes in the book, but of course,
did he?
Quote, I bleeped up is the catchphrase.
He didn't answer Malcolm Butler. He didn't there's a lot of stuff he didn't answer in there.
I have at times reluctantly gone along with the title, cover, and language in the book. I'm not going to be the conductor of a hype train in the book promotion. We have enough hype to work with. I hope we can get on the same page in promoting the book authentically. Thanks, BB.
Okay.
So she decided to post that today.
So hang on. So Terp,
and, oh, by the way.
Wait. So Terp, can you put that back up on Twitch? Twitch.tv/BostonWEI. I have some questions about font choices and things like this, but go ahead. What were
By the way, so then her, what she wrote, so she posted that as a screenshot on Instagram, and then she wrote full statement to be released later today.
Nice.
So she is a PR person, I believe, right? She's in PR. She's doing a great job.
She pretends to be, yeah.
She got into a Dunkin' commercial. She's doing something right. And so, yeah, so she, I don't know what the full statement's going to be, but I guess we are locked in.
Okay. So, wow. That is, people in the Twitch chat think Bill didn't even write this. I disagree.
Well,
I think she did. You think she wrote this on his behalf?
No, I. Oh yeah, maybe. I guess.
I mean,
but
maybe
it's from him, and he tagged. He like sent it to her.
You
as
think
well.
BB doesn't refer to himself as BB? I don't know what to tell you. Man wears it on his sweatshirt for God's sakes.
It's BB.
So if you think the autograph at the end indicates that it's not her, so she's posting his emails. It's all blue font. That doesn't look like Bill, if we're being honest. I can see with the font choice, maybe that's her.
Small font and in blue. I barely could read that.
But a full statement to come. Yeah. Do you think she did this of her own volition, or do you think Bill's like, put it out there? He said in the interview on CBS he has social media, but he doesn't follow them.
She's clearly running all this. The question is, like, is he going to be surprised to know this is out there, or maybe she told him she's going to?
She's releasing his emails.
Yeah. Let's see the emails.
Let's say even if...
Don't release... Yeah.
Even if Bill wants his emails released, what does that say about... Bill's like, yeah, go ahead, put my emails out there. What the hell?
John Gruden got fired for emails. Maybe you got to watch out. But yeah, this is odd. Just more and more.
Wow.
So I mean, if you're like a friend or a family member of Bill,
full
you got to be
is
a
Bill,
little worried.
Is Bill putting out... Oh, for sure. Like, right.
Do you think Bill's putting out a statement? I would say no. I would say Jordan's going to put out a statement. Or maybe with the Bill letterhead.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, she's got another statement coming out?
Yeah.
Is Bill putting out a statement? But no, to your point about if you're close to Bill, you got to be worried? Yeah. If you're Steve Belichick, Brian Belichick.
Oh, God.
Amanda Belichick.
Terrified.
You're looking at this going, she's airing out his emails for the public now?
Yeah, and if I'm Richard at inkwellmanagement.com, I'm like, thanks for putting my email out there.
Take me off there. Also, this goes back to the TMZ scoop that... Yeah. People at North Carolina are worried. How do you think they feel about that? All your email,
they should be worried.
All your email dirty laundry's out there now. Yeah. Ay caramba.
Yeah, right. So basically, if you send an email to her
it's fair game. You email Bill something. Right. It could show up on her Instagram.
Correct.
That's now the takeaway. Nice. And awesome. even if Bill's green lighting it. That doesn't make me feel any better. Oh, great. I send Bill an email, I think, in confidence. And next thing I know, it's on your 24-year-old girlfriend's Instagram. Great. Wow. Well, sounds like things are going well.
No, it's going super great.
They might have already been on the top of the wildest relationship tiers when we get there.
Oh, yeah.
But
it's coming.
If they weren't, they're moving up.
We got some good candidates.
They are moving up. That's in the tiers at 11:30. We have another pair of tickets to give away to the Red Sox and the Rangers. Also at 11:30, Tommy Curran will have more on this, I'm sure, at high noon on a Tommy Tuesday. Tom Curran from NBC Sports Boston, plus Kiefer Madness at 12:45. I want to get to the Patriots, how much they've improved, what their biggest weakness is, have they closed the gap at all on Buffalo, and we'll dovetail in some comments from Brandon Bean, because they're very sensitive in Buffalo, along with some thoughts on the Celtics tonight in Game 5 against the Magic. All that comes your way next.